Of Gopal's garden will be speaking the offerings for Radhanath Maharaj, and then some children will be presenting gifts. Thank you.
Hari Bol Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. On this utmost auspicious day of your Vyas Puja, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for all that you have done for me. Maharaj, I may make some mistakes in speaking this offering for you. Please forgive me, considering me as an ignorant soul. Maharaj, you are a treasure with abundant wealth of your great qualities. Describing even one of them would take years. The quality I admire the most in you, Maharaj, is the quality of taking everyone in your shelter. You don't differentiate between anyone. Some years back, during one of the drama festivals, you liked my role very much and you asked me, will you come and stay with me? Maharaj, you've got a large heart and that's why you ask something like that to someone so insignificant like me. Another quality of you, Maharaj, that I like the most is your quality of forgiving the mistakes committed by devotees. I got to know this quality a few years back when I was a small child. During Pushyabhishek in temple, I got the opportunity to sit beside you. All the devotees started throwing flowers on each other, but I, being a small child, acted foolishly and threw some flowers hard on your face. Maharaj, you immediately turned back. I realized my mistake. I did not know what reaction to expect from you. Maybe you would be angry, but Maharaj, to my utter surprise, you gave me a wide smile and threw some flowers on me and gave me the garland you had worn that day. Maharaj, I deeply admire these qualities of yours and would try my best to imbibe those qualities within myself. Gurudev, you are a pure and divine personality. You have the ability of connecting to all kinds of people, from small children in the temple to top class people like those in the British Parliament. Being in your association makes me feel honored. I would like to thank you for all that you have done for me. Yatras, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Vada, and last but not the least, Gopal's Garden. Without Gopal's Garden, I would not have been what I am. Gopal's Garden has given me that all a student could desire, teachers, friends, and the association of brahmacharis. Maharaj, few years back, you had been to school. Then you said, Gopal's Garden is like a garden where all the teachers are the gardeners and all the kids are like tiny flowers. Maharaj, this is my last year in Gopal's Garden. So, I would like to offer you one of the tiny flowers from Gopal's garden, that is myself. Please bestow your mercy upon me and let me prosper in Krishna consciousness and become a good devotee and serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
To dearest Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. On this most auspicious day, I would like to express my deepmost heartfelt gratitude for everything you have given me. I know I am unworthy of all this, but just due to your causeless mercy, I have whatever I have. It is with a very heavy heart that I shall be leaving the wonderful school, but I shall remain a Gopalite throughout. Today, whatever I am, it is just due to Gopal's garden, and my only wish and hope is that I am molded the way you want me to be. Though undeserving, I am proud that I was a part of Gopal's garden. Gopal's garden has given me everything. All this is possible only by your causeless mercy. Satisfying the Guru is satisfying Krishna, so I hope to follow your instructions and please you. I am eternally grateful to you for allowing me to be a part of many presentations during your every Vyas Puja and your visits to our dearmost school, Gopal's garden. Maharaj, due to your mercy, I got many mentors, role models to follow. The list of your disciples who inspire me is very long. Thank you, Maharaj, for all this. I pray at your lotus feet to always keep me in your service so as to please Krishna. I request you, Maharaj, and all the devotees to bless me so that I can help Prabhupada's mission in whatever small way I can. Lastly, I beg your blessings for my family. Aspiring to be your servant, Sukruti, 10th Standard Gopal's Garden.
Hare Krishna. to all the children who participated and all their teachers who took so much trouble for preparing for this presentation. As we begin our most awaited ceremony, where disciples, well-wishers, friends would like to offer their, make their offerings to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I am being instructed to formally offer gratitude to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj for kindly agreeing to be here on his 61st Vyasa Puja. We really thank you, Maharaj. We know what kind of ordeal, what kind of important tasks you have undertaken in the service of Srila Prabhupada, and we feel blessed that you are doing the real service, but you are also giving us a chance to offer some service to Srila Prabhupada's mission by assisting you. Now we will begin. We are very fortunate to have received a small videotaped offering from His Holiness Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. He has requested that we should play this. So I hope they have made the arrangements there. We shall be playing this. And most of you would be able to listen to this on your FM radios, as well as through these speakers, and the TV screens will be relaying the video projection.
Anandhasakaya Taksanam Hidam Jena Tasnaiti Yorave Nama Namam Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vajarani Nili Sesha Sunyavadi Vashatya Desatarane Panchakalpa Chirubhyasa Kitla Sindhu Devita Vajidhara Pramanevya Vaishnavevya Namo Namah. I'd like to take this opportunity to offer some humble homage at the lotus feet of my dear God brother, His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj. We always had great appreciation that he was a very simple and a nice Vaishnava, but I didn't have so much association with him at many years ago. But in the past few years, I was able to see him working, and I appreciate that he's very much committed to is the language A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Also that he really appreciates and tries to serve his God brothers and God sisters. He's conscious about them. He also is very merciful to the youth in our movement. He wants to help the second generation of devotees who are born into the Vaishnava families. In so many ways, I see that he is a very exemplary Vaishnava. And he has a very nice sense of humor, as you all know. Like not one of our classes go by, which don't have some session of laughter. In our meetings about Mayapur and also about Calcutta, he's a person of a few words in a sense of, but when he speaks right to the point and very much sincerely has grasped issues and tries to give some contribution to help the situation. He also worked very hard to see that the community at New Vrindavan and other places which were following Kirtanama Swami, that they also come back to Islam as much as possible. All these show how much he is dedicated to his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I'm very glad that I have association with him. And he's been very kind. When I was sick, he also came to see me many times. And he postponed his Vyas Puja. At that time, I requested him, please have the Vyas Puja. And he was kind enough at that time, too, in 2009, to hold it. So I was very much grateful also that he prayed on all the devotees in the nun, and since for me, my recovery. And I'm very much grateful also that I could attend his yatra sometimes, both in Mayapur, also in Pune. It was some very much enlightening experience for me to go to Pune and see the assembly of Vaishnavas. We had seen a few times in Mayapur, and I would also at least try to be present for a day or two. So we were very much impressed. I also like his followers, and some of them I got to know very intimately. When I was in L.A. And Bombay, I was still under the care of the Bhaktivedanta Swami Hospital. You know, this is just one area that he has tried always to serve the Vaishnavas. Not only does he try to serve the Vaishnavas in Islam, but he's also serving the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan with his Vrasana I kept. He is taking care of a lot of these Rajavasis. So, in many ways, he is always trying to help. He also helped to facilitate the building of the hospice in the Nun. Although it's funded by Giriraj Maharaj, but his team of doctors, they were very active, and they actually put the thing together. So I'm very happy to see that he'll be observing his Vyas Puja again. And I'm very happy that I get some association with him throughout the year. He's a very loving godbrother, and Srila Radhanath Swami, please accept my dandavats at your feet. I'm very much grateful that I can be I get your association, and I hope that sometimes I can be some service to you also. All glory to your holiness. I will.
His Holiness Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj Ki. So, now I would like to begin the offering session by requesting His Holiness Shukdev Goswami Maharaj to kindly come forward and make his offering. Meanwhile, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, please be ready. The protocol is you can offer your pranams, pranam mantra in your mind, so that we can optimize time.
His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. So I come to Bombay not often, but Vyasa Puja Day of Maharaj, it's like a strong pull. Let me go and meet with all my God brothers and hear them speaking about the glories of Maharaj, and also hear from him directly his written lectures are there, his audio recordings are there, but as it is a fact, hearing from him directly will have a message for everyone. So I always take this opportunity to come here and spend a day or two here. So the few things I was thinking to say about Maharaj, he's an all-round personality. Like sometimes we may ask, what service Maharaj likes. You all know better. He encourages all fields of all activities of devotional service, like he personally has. He's an expert in cooking, he's expert in singing, he's expert in management, he's expert in giving classes, and putting his points effectively. So he's an all-round personality. Generally, it is not possible to be expert in so many things unless he is blessed by the Lord. So it is obvious that Maharaj is blessed by Srila Prabhupada, Gauranga Dev, and Radharani and Lord Krishna. So that's why he is a very versatile personality. That's why so many people gather around him, because he can appeal to the interests of anyone and everyone. As a contrast from this thing, like we sing in Sadgoshamastakam, Dheera Dheera. So he knows how to encourage even unqualified, undeserving people. But he has faith that if he can let people be around chanting Hare Krishna, and things will happen. Everybody has their contribution or service to the Lord. Secondly, Maharaj's influence is everywhere. Because of his exemplary life, people who are around him, and Maharaj may not be traveling everywhere, but the inspiration that the devotees derive from him, and they go, at least I know, all over India, Maharaj's disciples travel here and there. Just by being in their association, people are drawn to Maharaj. I remember many years back, Kirtananda Swami Maharaj, he said, like when you meet the disciples and from them people can have an idea about how their spiritual master is like, you know. So when Maharaj can give such exemplary association, the devotees, they keep it in their heart and they try to live up to their guru, or try to follow the example set by Maharaj, and like that. So Maharaj's influence is everywhere. And also another reason we can say Maharaj's influence is very far and wide, like, you know, I was remember in nowadays in Nellore, we are having classes from the fourth canto, the life of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, he was doing tapasya, sitting in the forest at one place, and then as we know from the story, that all directions were ablaze, and all the demigods, they were puzzled at the situation of the universe, and They could not understand. So similarly, by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, by following carefully, Maharaj is exercising his influence all over. And like the Gopal Garden children were saying, and our scriptures say, a Vaishnava has 26 qualities, and as a person becomes an advanced Vaishnava, we can appreciate so many qualities in him. So it is not surprising that people appreciate Maharaj's qualities in so many ways. So I was also looking back into my association with Maharaj. Nowadays, so many people are there. It is so busy. I'm sure even devotees staying in Chaupati temple itself to get his association. There's so much to do. So I was thinking that little association I had when Maharaj was coming, or I was with Maharaj, like I hope I'm a little better now. Previously I was much more dull. But I was with Maharaj for an year, not having expertise into anything, not having fluency in English. I remember a joke. Sukadeva Swami's English and Hindi are equally good. Because both of them are not my mother languages. So similarly was my service. And I was in America with Maharaj, traveling around. But just allowing me, you know, that is the expertness of Maharaj, comfortably what this devotee can do. Because when we are in the association of devotees, especially senior devotees, you don't want to be standing there, like, you know, like maybe Maharaj is cooking, you start washing the pots, or Maharaj is busy doing this and that, you stand on the streets trying to sell books. So I was, let me say, he did not let me know that I know nothing. Just let him be there. Actually, I can look back and say, just because he was not finding faults in me and just encouraging me for what I am, and being inspired by his dedicated service and devotional service, inspired to do myself also, let me also get up, chant, be enthusiastic and like that. So this is one thing. And similarly, I stayed quite for many years in Kurukshetra, and Maharaj was coming yearly, maybe at least once, like that. So when Kurukshetra center also became ISKCON center back in 1994, and I moved out of management in Kurukshetra temple, and there were little problems like my interest to preach and management interest to do things, and I was upset, I approached Maharaj. I'm trying to do whatever I can, but it is not facilitated. Soberly, smilingly, Maharaj told me, "Now you are a good devotee, so you depend on Krishna, stand on your merit, and things will happen." So that means I always noticed him that benefit of doubt, whenever there is conflict, Maharaj doesn't keep his interest and he gives it to the other person. So he was telling me that you just wait, if you are a good devotee, you go on. Actually, he also told one more thing. No, you are very much liked by our congregation, so our doors are open. You can always come to Bombay side and preach like that. But if you want to do something else, then you stand on your own merit. You be dependent on Krishna and on your devotion service, and whatever opportunities Krishna provides you, you try to handle them properly. So I think I'll just remember that. So whatever little opportunities come, try to deal with the situation, and it's encouraging, you know. Also, Maharaj's classes, they are so nectarian, elaborate, detailed. I have a chance to watch, at least in the past, is talking to people, maybe for hours together. The graphic memory, the way you can relate the things that happened, it's amazing that he can go into so many particulars. I took sannyas in 89 in Chaupati temple. So, and we were away from ISKCON for some years, and back in ISKCON again from 1994, you know, like the sannyas has to be confirmed that I can continue to be a sannyasi in ISKCON movement, because the sannyas was awarded outside ISKCON, so there's a sannyas committee and all that. So I don't know anybody, I was nervous, because in ISKCON, devotees have their views, and so I was a little nervous. So I was in Mayapur, Maharaj was there. We were called by the sannyas committee for reconfirming our status as a sannyasi. And then Maharaj saw me. Maharaj just he patted on my shoulder and he said, you're a nice person, you just face them. I don't have to say anything because you're already in our group. It doesn't look nice, you face it. So surprisingly, really Krishna wants to allow me to be around. And then in the sannyas committee, I don't know them. Vipramukha Swami, Prahladananda Maharaj, Bhairakrishna Goswami. And then they said, all right, now you can continue as a sannyasi in ISKCON. So the point is, Maharaj wants us to struggle. Rely on recommendations or favoritism and that. You struggle. You know? When you struggle, we really attain something worthwhile and that can last. So lastly, I'm sure it is the experience of all of you, although we may not be with Maharaj so long, or we may not be meeting him so often, but even the few moments we meet him, his grace and his little comments, they show that he has concern, he has affection, and when you have that connection with a senior Vaishnava, it remains in our memory, and we want to live up to them, we want to at least attempt to do things which may please them and like that. So, Maharaj, I pray and request that you continue to give me your merciful glances and be in the association of you and your followers. Hare Krishna. Radhanashyam Maharaj ki.
Thank you, Shukdev Maharaj. Now, as Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj comes forward to make his offering, I would like to request Her Grace Nartaki Mataji, kindly be ready.
Hare Krishna. Seeing this big ocean of devotees here, and also being aware of other little oceans in different parts of the world, I can think of one phrase: transcendental conquest. There have been many, many great conquerors that the world has seen. History tells us of many great kings who conquered different lands, and they became very famous. They conquered over different peoples, but they did so out of a sense of ego, pride, a sense of controllership, a sense of proprietorship, enjoyership. But you are a transcendental conqueror, a conqueror of a different kind, who is conquering people with your transcendental qualities, with your transcendental message, and with the way that you present the message and yourself and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to everyone. I remember that one time we were traveling together many years ago, and we were at one airport. I don't remember which airport it was. And one Western lady, but it was in India, and one Western lady came up, and because I was sitting next to you and you were carrying your sannyas staff, and she came and asked me, pointing to the danda, "Is that a fishing rod?" And then I was going to give the usual boring, straightforward answer. I was about to say, No, he is a sannyasi, he is a monk, a renunciant monk, and this is a symbol of renunciation and surrender, and I was going to speak like that. But before I could speak, you immediately intervened and said, yes, it's a fishing rod. And then you quoted a small passage from the Bible where Jesus says that he fishes people out of the water of the ocean of material existence. And so apart from all these other wonderful qualities and weapons that you have, that one weapon is also something for which you have been fishing everywhere and picking out the fish. Everything here in this world is fishy. There is a saying in English, fishing in troubled waters. And you have been fishing in troubled waters and making them calm and making them placid. And this is your transcendental attribute. In the last few years, we are witnessing some very, very nice preaching efforts and initiatives that you have begun in the Western countries. And having seen the growth of preaching over the last few decades within our movement, we can say that in the last 20 years or so, there has not been much preaching to the Western audiences in the Western countries. But you have begun a process where you have streamlined the preaching of the usual preaching to the Indian community as well as reaching out to the Western people as never before, at least in the last 20-25 years. We see a gradual return to that spirit of going back to that outreach where you penetrated to the common Western person. And people of different kinds are taking to you and you're using your fishing rod. You are packaging the transcendental message in such an expert way. And that indeed is the quality of a preacher, an expert preacher. It is not that an expert preacher simply adjusts the message according to time, place and circumstance. But he does so with great fidelity to the message of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So to amalgamate the two, to be relevant to the people at large, to reach out to them and touch their hearts, and at the same time not compromise the message, is something very unique. And this is something very exciting that we are watching now from the sidelines, so to speak, as you move around in the Western world and penetrate into areas that are so much required now. Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure, will be so happy at this. So just as you have conquered the hearts of all of us here in India and many of us who have come from abroad, you are also conquering the hearts of many, many others everywhere. And speaking of conquerors, it is said about, I think it was Julius Caesar, Vini Vidi Vici, that he came, he saw, and he conquered. And such are your transcendental attributes that wherever you go, you conquer the hearts of the devotees and everybody you come in touch with. We thank you so much for this very wonderful service that you're doing for the whole world, conquering them not with all kinds of aggression, not with fiery speeches, not with all kinds of other glamour and many other things that people do to conquer other people. But you're doing it in such a down-to-earth, simple, humble way, with compassion, kindness, love, and above all, a great sincerity and dedication to Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. Our eternal indebtedness to you, Maharaj, for having conquered our hearts, and also for the efforts you're putting in with great success to conquer the hearts of so many others in the world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. Now, before Nartaki Mataji comes to make her offering, I would like to request His Grace Srinathji Prabhu, please be ready. Nartaki Mataji, can you please come forward?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, all glories to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Today, even though it is an ordinary calendar date, it is most auspicious because we are celebrating your Vyasa Puja day. You're glorified as the builder of communities, which I'm very happy to observe because you're fulfilling the inner desire of Srila Prabhupada. You're untiringly reaching out to others to bring them to spiritual consciousness and practices. You're pleading with them gently. Asatoma sadgama, tamasi ma jyoti gama, mrittoma amrit gama. Do not stay in illusion, go to eternal reality. Do not stay in darkness, go to the light. Do not keep taking material bodies, become immortal. And there's no egotism and judgmentalism between you and them, and therefore they are opening their hearts. I'm repeatedly surprised to hear and see the videos of your preaching in the West. In one of them, you are speaking to an audience of 1,000 people at the HSBC Bank in London. They were all shirt and tie folks and ladies in three-piece suits. How were you able to book such an event? From years of Sankirtan, where we would also try to book such events for other God brothers, His Holiness, Virananda Maharaj, Dutakama Prabhu, Dravida Prabhu, etc., our experience in LA was that it was not very easy to get permission to such events. At UCLA, we finally got permission, but it was an extracurricular course of Bhakti Yoga, and in other words, the students had to come in their own time, so it was not so well attended. But here we saw that you had 1,000 people gathered. And the real success can be seen in the response to the speech. At the HSBC Bank, one lady said, "I was shocked when I actually met him, the Swami, how humble he was. He said how nice it was to meet me when I was actually when it was actually the other way around. His talk was so easy digestible, easy to understand. Sometimes we hear spiritual talks, and they're so deep that we can't relate to it. But this was was the deepest wisdom delivered in such a beautiful way." Another man said, "I enjoyed his speech so much that everything around me was forgotten. He clearly has some energy that captures you. He captured me." Another man said, "It was a very inspirational talk. He had really an eventful life. It was clearly like two cultures meeting in one person." Then at other events, I was intrigued by the title of your speech, and I'm sure many people in the audience felt the same way. One title read, "Influence Without Affluence," subtitled, "The Power of Authenticity and Integration," at the famous coffee company Starbucks in Seattle. The coordinator was, even before the speech, impressed by you because he had already read your book. He introduced you. "Radhanath Swami is a spiritual and humanitarian leader, an author, a spiritual speaker, over and above a genuine and caring person." He described your travels and said that on your tour you saw that the problems in society are primarily based on human frailties. Irrespective of race, nationality, sex, religion, and economic status, you decided to dedicate your life to explore the solution to the world's problems by advancement of human consciousness. Then you spoke, "Wherever I go in the world, I've heard so many good things about Starbucks. Even people who don't drink coffee go there, because the atmosphere is so nice and free and the quality of service is so attractive to people." You always say such sweet words that endear you to your audience immediately. "What satisfies the heart is quality. In the world, so many times people compromise or even disregard the need for quality. What we are looking for is a deep experience in life with meaning and fulfillment. Things that will give satisfaction to the body and mind cannot give satisfaction to the heart. Relationships are based on affection, integrity, and love, and that is where we find satisfaction. We can define integrity as the willingness to embrace ideals we hold sacred in our lives. People who have made the greatest influence in people's lives are people who lived by their ideals. In the suburbs of Chicago, where I was raised, there was affluence, but people were dissatisfied. They were looking for ideals in their lives. So there was a counterculture. The Vietnam War and the civil rights movement began. I turned to social activism. Gandhi once said, if you want to see the change in the world, we have to be the change ourselves. Eventually, I came to the conclusion to do something spiritual to know myself. Then my beloved guru came to America. He was 70 years old and had no money, nor did he know anyone. All he had was his message of integrity. He lived in the Bowery of Manhattan, but in a few years, many thousands of people started to follow him. Perhaps the greatest need in the world today is compassion. Another person's suffering should become my suffering, and another person's happiness should become my happiness. Once we found that sacred ideal in our lives, we can harmonize our occupation, family, and every aspect around that. So the second half of my appreciation of you is that you should not only be glorified as a builder of communities, but as a maintainer of communities. And this is, as we know, more difficult. One of such great endeavors to inspire the members of the communities you have built are the yatras that you are taking out every year. On these yatras, we become purified by visiting the holy places, especially during the sacred month of Kartik, hearing the glories of the Lord and his pure devotees, and associating with and serving devotees. I just wanted to highlight a katha session you gave at Govardhan just a little more than a week ago. You quoted from Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Purna Avartino Arjuna. In this material world, there is inherent suffering in everything. The soul is seeking everlasting pleasure, not nothing less. But Prahlad Maharaj said that all solution to such problems, if they are not in reference to spiritual knowledge, will inevitably end in suffering. Then you quoted from the 10th canto, Sammashrita ye padapallavam plavam, mahat padam punya yasho murari, bhavam buddhya vatsa padam param padam, padam padam yadvid padam natesham. If we take shelter of Murari Krishna, the ocean of material world is like the water contained in the calf's hoofprint. The goal is param padam, Vaikuntha, the place where there is no material miseries, not the place where there are dangers at every step. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was perplexed. Whoever we are, we will be put into situations which are beyond ourselves. It may be in the form of disease, economic disaster, broken relationships, or frustrated desires. But how will we respond to such difficulties? Will we forget who we are and what we really want? That cloud that blocks us from the true self-interest is like a demon. That mystical cloud of Maya manifests in different ways: lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. These are the demons which kill the propensities within us to love and serve the Lord. So Krishna is Murari because he descends in the world to slay these demons. He slayed Aristasura, Bakasura, Shishupal, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Kumbhakarna. The reason why he kills these demons is to give hope to all of us. Whatever demons are in our hearts, if we turn to Krishna, Murari, he can release us, can liberate us from the clutches of illusion. In every one of Krishna's avatars, the asuras were causing so much corruption beyond anybody's ability to control. Not only common people, rishis and sages, but also powerful demigods could not stand before them. Ultimately, the only solution is to totally humble ourselves and cry out to Krishna, Murari, Hey Murari, please kill the demon within myself and make me an instrument of your love in this world. The way we spend our time in this world is very much what determines the nature of our surrender. Surrender is a moment to moment choice, and time is running out. So we come to the holy places to realign our priorities, So it is the principle of the Vaishnava Dharma to go to the holy places and meet holy people. Coming to holy places also strengthens and revitalizes our faith. Every single speck of dust, every leaf, every stone on the ground, the very air we breathe, has been absorbing the lila of Krishna and has been absorbing the meditation, prema, or pure love of the acharyas of thousands of years. All we have to tune into that immense benefit and we will be filled with grace. Maharaj, I'm eternally indebted to you for inspiring me repeatedly on my path so that I can go deep into my heart and purify it and make it a fit place for the Lord to reside. Your eternal servant, Nartaki Devadasi.
Thank you, Nartaki Mataji. As Srinathji Prabhu comes forward to make his offering, I would like to request His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu kindly be ready.
Senses, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. During the last 1 year, there has been a tremendous upsurge in person-to-person contact throughout the world between yourself and well-known public people due to the vast circulation of your book, The Journey Home, in English and many other languages. I have seen for myself in early May this year at Los Angeles, when there was a very major gathering of the world's top bankers, financiers, and other investors, totaling over 3,500 major financial decision makers of the world, who took their time out and seriously followed your book launch, and many of them personally came to attend your very early morning meditation classes. During the whole day, you had several one-to-one meetings and group discussions. I am quite sure that in due course of time, this book and the subsequent ones, which I believe are coming shortly, will enlighten millions of people in the benefits of becoming Krishna conscious. The world is fast losing faith in politicians and the so-called country leaders in practically every country of the world. There is mass violence in some countries, and in others there is a serious agitation to get back higher values of life. Just as Srila Prabhupada had predicted and found fertile ground at the time of the hippie movement in USA, I can see people now getting set in the whole world for the inevitable acceptance of God consciousness. There is, as Prabhupada said, greatest necessity of God conscious leaders, and I am sure that yourself and mainly all your colleagues will be asked by Krishna to play a very big role. We, as your disciples and servants of Vaishnavas, will do whatever is necessary to relieve the agony, difficulty and pains being felt by the common man and woman, child, practically in every country of the world. Please instruct us suitably so that we may serve Srila Prabhupada's mission through you to fulfill the goals and objectives of Srila Prabhupada's declared policies. Your servant in the service of Lord Krishna, Maithili Priya Mataji and Srinathji Das.
Thank you, Srinathji Prabhu. While Krishna Chandra Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request His Grace Radha Giridhari Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This past 1 year, you have spent your whole life teaching us by example, and in this 1 year, one thing which really struck me was that in your effort to preach around the world, you have come in contact with some of the most influential people in the planet, and the way you have accepted that opportunity is primarily you have seen whatever is useful to in your service to Srila Prabhupada, whether it is an opportunity to meet one-to-one with important people. Also, if any different views within ISKCON also surface, and there is so much variegatedness, so you have also shown by your own example how to respond to such negative views. Again, the same way, that what would be in the interest of Srila Prabhupada's mission and also to Srila Prabhupada. So, it's become more clear to me that what you're trying to tell us is everything that we see should be Krishna conscious. But how do we know what is Krishna conscious? It's really, the barometer would be, would it serve Srila Prabhupada and his movement in the right spirit, or would it actually cast a negative view on him, on Srila Prabhupada? So it's the other way of saying that we should not doubt, we should not think of, we should not have confidence in ourselves, but actually put aside our egos. And the other the other point I also wanted to make is, recently, some months ago, when Yamuna Mataji was here and you were going to see her in the Bhaktivedan hospital, that was the last time you would have met her before she was leaving. I think it was March. And Narottam Anand Prabhu, who's now in UK, but at the moment he's here, but just a few days before, his father happened to have a crisis and was admitted to Bhaktivedan hospital. And he and his mother were in extremely despondent, mentally devastated, because they kept feeling that perhaps they could have done some things to prevent this, and there were some signs that maybe they could have done this or that. And then it was something like around 11 or 11:30 in the morning, and he was also in Bhaktivedan hospital because of his father. And by that time, the previous day, our doctors had told that now it's just a few hours probably that he has. And he happened to see you because you came to see Srila Prabhupada, Yamuna Mataji. And what are the chances of this? You know, it's not a coincidence, but what would be the chances that this would happen, that you came at the exact time and he saw you and he just took the courage to come up and ask you that, so this is the situation, my father's here in same hospital and he's going to leave his body soon. And you immediately told him that you take me to him, and you chanted a full round with him, and then maybe in 2 hours or so he left his body. Now this has been the story with quite a few devotees in the last few years, but my point is the mysterious way of how Krishna really works through his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, and through, and because you are serving Srila Prabhupada, that there's no coincidence, everything happens, and we then see the signals that Lord Krishna gives us through his devotees. And in the same way, when my father also, when I just saw, I got time to reflect in the last few months, and I saw an entire his entire lifespan of 88 years, and actually, you know, the mysterious ways of Krishna are always very subtle. They don't really, externally it may seem something else, but when I see that Srila Prabhupada's meeting with my father in 65, my father didn't even know about it. It was April and then again in May of 65, and then he bought those three volumes, the first Bhagavatam. That's the only contact. But somehow 20 odd years later, his family members, without his knowing, somehow got connected to ISKCON. And then at the time of departure, you know, a couple of months ago, we were thinking of taking him to Chitrakoot, and we actually decided, but I was having some hesitancy in my mind, and I was sharing with my wife because he was in bad shape that time and we were not sure whether he'll make the arduous journey. And she was telling me that why don't you phone, ask Maharaj. And you know, we had not spoken for 6 months after you had gone. I didn't want to disturb you. And somehow your phone came for something else. And I took the opportunity just to mention this, that we were thinking like this. And you know, you, the way you put it, you strongly endorse that whatever his, if he wants, that's a wonderful thing. So I could see that Prabhupada's mercy, you know, coming through you, somehow he got the benefit. And we could take him there. And then in the last, and you insisted that devotees from here come there round the clock at such great sacrifice of their time, of their energy. They could have been doing so many things here, but they were there round the clock, you know, reading Ramayana, Kirtan, etc. So I could see right through that externally people may say that, you know, of course he was a wonderful soul, he did so many things, but I think really Prabhupada's mercy coming through you was really the most blessed thing. And the proof of it was that finally he left on Prabhupada's disappearance day. So to me, I could see that even if we have no intention, if we have no understanding, no desire, somehow causeless mercy really means that we get the opportunity to, if we can at least recognize this, that this is coming through to his pure devotees, that at least we can pray that we can now not leave this opportunity in future, and it is a conviction we should continue serving. So on this day, I would humbly request your blessings that my little conviction that I have grows to such a way that I have no other desire but to serve you in service of Prabhupada and Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kishanandar Prabhu. And before Radha Gidhar Prabhu comes, as he comes to for his offering, I would like to request His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, please be ready.
Dearest Radhanath Maharaj, on this auspicious day, my heart is filled with gratitude for the multitude of kindness and mercy that you bestow upon me and my family. I am especially grateful for your kind email that you sent me when I was all alone and away from any ISKCON temple or devotee in a country like Kuwait. While I was fortunate to listen to your lecture and take shelter of your lecture on Sri Madhavendra Puri and your kirtan, but I was still feeling very lost and missing the association of devotees. And I wrote to you in great desperation. And miraculously, despite your extremely busy schedule of traveling and preaching in so many glorious ways, receiving hundreds and thousands of emails from disciples all over the world, yet, Maharaj, you was so kind that you found time to bestow your causeless mercy and blessing and sent me that email while I was still at Kuwait. Maharaj, we deeply miss your association, but we are so happy to see this wonderful preaching that is going on in the US and Europe, where you are taking Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON to places like the White House with the President of the US, to, you know, to business leaders like Mike Milken and so many in the US, in London, speaking in universities like Princeton, Columbia, addressing HSBC banks, and truly taking Srila Prabhupada's mission and establishing it in such a strong and nice, wonderful way in the West. Many years ago, Maharaj, when we were at an early stage of just coming back to ISKCON, I found, and I was fortunate this particular year to hear a lecture that you had spoken in a South Indian Yatra, where you told us to remain focused on the most important aspect of coming to Srila Prabhupada's movement is to focus on our chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles, reading Srila Prabhupada's books and associating with devotees. You told us not to look for in ISKCON or in any other place or be bewildered by anything else, but just focus on everything that Srila Prabhupada's wonderful ISKCON just enhances these four basic instructions. In the last 1 year, Maharaj, I I went through quite a few changes from moving from one country to another, dealing with the normal vagaries of business, going up and down, dealing with all kinds of people, including sometimes difficulty with family members. However, these instructions of yours kept bringing me back on focusing myself that I am never being put into any situation where I am not able to chant or read Srila Prabhupada's books. And as long as your mercy is there and I am able to just bring my mind to focus on this, it brings a lot of, you know, hope and calmness, and I'm not then affected by any issue or a problem. So Maharaj, on this auspicious day, please forgive me for my frailties, and I beg for your blessings that all of us can follow your instructions, keep our mind focused in serving these wonderful devotees who are serving you so nicely. Vrindapriya Devi, Krishangi Radhika, and Radha Kidari Das.
Thank you, Radha Kidari Prabhu. A small note to devotees who will be now coming forward. In the interest of optimizing time, kindly make your offerings below the 5-minute barrier. As Radha Gopinath Prabhu begins his offering, I would like to request Her Grace Vraja Leela Mataji, please be ready.
Dear Maharaj, this year has been a very eventful one in many ways for me in terms of broadening and deepening my practical understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. As ever, you constantly continue to amaze me. Every year, so many wonderful aspects of your personality continue to unfurl, and I get a newer, wider and deeper understanding of the qualities that you have been exhibiting all these years. We have been hearing about utility is the principle, and when I thought that you're going to write your book, I thought maybe since Vaishnava has requested you, you will write the book and few copies will be distributed and that's the end of it. But then I see now, behind that, whatever endeavor you have put there, you're fully utilizing it in the best way to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is your life and soul. In a very small ways, you exhibited your determination when you decided to expand the temple hall to accommodate more number of devotees. And we came to know that the municipal people cannot permit, and we can't make the temple hall go towards the side of the gate. So you requested the lordships to move 20 feet behind. I mean, that was, when you're determined, you get things done. I thought that's good, nice determination. But when I see at this age, you're again deciding to start a new preaching field, and the same amount of energy that you put in Mumbai many, many years ago, practically your whole life's energy to bring this result, comfortably one could be relaxed and taking the glory of that, speaking about it, rather than jumping into a completely new field with the same endeavor, same determination. It simply amazes me. I decided to hear your lecture from 89 onwards, and I am regularly hearing that, and in one lecture I heard you speaking about Maharaj Priyavrat, how he decided to join the ashram and stay with Narad Muni as a brahmachari, and he had decided that he is going to be there like that.
and Uttanapada took over the emperorship, unrivaled emperorship of the whole planet. And then when the situation arose, when a personality was needed, Swayambhu Manu, eventually even Lord Brahma came and persisted and on their request Maharaj Priyavrat decided to come and take charge the responsibility of running the affairs of the whole planet. And as a purport to that, you said sometimes our nature may be different, but if the need arises, one may has to rise up to the need of the hour. There I could see every word is able to penetrate the hearts of people because it actually comes from your heart, and therefore it is able to penetrate the heart. I remember in Jagannath Vallabh Garden in Jagannath Puri, you are sitting amidst thousands of people and you invited one of Prabhupada's disciples who was somewhere in the back, somewhere behind. He said, please Prabhu, come and sit with me. So he said, no Maharaj, I am very camera shy. And you said, I too. And knowing you, reading your book, how you love to live seclusion in caves, really I am so afraid of. Even Raghav Pandit's cave I was so scared to stay after 6 p.m. You living there, and now irrespective of, I mean, for us we have taken it for granted, if 6,000 or less people come, we feel thoda less crowd we had today. And this kind of thing we are practically getting conditioned to, and it doesn't make a difference to you, because if there is a need, just you rise up to the situation of the hour. I think Shamanand Prabhu had me in mind, therefore he made the special announcement, and I will quickly stick to what I am supposed to speak. This year, as I sat down to write an offering in your glorification, I asked myself 3 questions. When I tried to find a reply for them, I was stuck with wonder as to the significance of the influence that your presence has had in my life. The first question I had was, had you not come in my life, what would have happened to me? In other words, Jadi Radhanath na hoito, tobe ki hoito, kamone koritam bhakti. Forget about advancement in spiritual life, would I have survived in Krishna consciousness? Today we are relishing so much nectar. I am sure I would have gone back to my old ways in 92-93 itself. I was almost lost like a kite on a windy day, but you were like the expert kite flyer. Rasamrat Maharaj called you a fisherman, but I call you a kite flyer, and who tightly held the string of faith in your heart and held me up there in the shining sunshine of Krishna conscious sky. This you did by teaching me how to remain steady by keeping my focus always on the eternal principles of bhakti and taking shelter of it, the holy name, the association of sincere devotees, an attitude of humble menial servant of the servant, which you have emphasized throughout. My second question was, if only I had taken your words and instructions little more seriously, where would I be today? How much could I have pleased you? Dear Maharaj, I have been watching devotees coming much later to me, taking your instructions and teachings, not even physical association, only from your lectures, hardly getting your physical association as I did. But they have taken these instructions as their life and soul, surrendering to it fully by body, mind and words, and have been empowered to do things beyond one's imagination. Though I sincerely try my best to take pleasure in their success, at least that's what I'm supposed to do shastrically, and I have been preaching too, and I know that is what will please you immensely. Still, I wonder, why am I still so lethargic? Why do I procrastinate? Why am I unable to gather the same determination demonstrated by these sincere disciples of yours? When will I ever do it? Will I ever be able to do it in this very lifetime? Or have I to pass through thousands of births being kicked around by Maya to learn my lessons well? Thirdly, my question was, in spite of all these hopeless conditions, how am I still sustaining myself? And then I realized, it's due to my full faith in the fact that you will continue to accept me as I am, with all my limitations and shortcomings, as you have been broad-minded enough to accommodate many souls like me in the past. My full faith in your tolerance to tolerate all my nonsense and allowing each individual to develop at their own pace. My full faith in your mountainous patience and electrifying enthusiasm to continue to inspire in spite of the fact that there is hardly any reciprocation from my side. My full faith in your compassion and divine vision to see some hidden spark in me that I am yet to discover and continuing to fan it in the hope that someday it may blaze. My full faith in your genuine concern for my overall welfare, in your creation of a system of care where I feel so secure, so protected, so respected and appreciated, so much loved and accepted as a part of a great family. Dear Gurudev, my only prayer to Krishna on this most auspicious day is that I may never take you and your causeless mercy on me for granted, but rather appreciate it, accept it, and if possible, share it with one and all. Thank you.
Thank you, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Some people need few words, some need more, but some need more and get loud for it. That can happen only in the case of Radha Gopinath Prabhu. So while Vrajila Mataji comes forward, I would like to request Sarvabhauma Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, on this auspicious Tithi date of your appearance day, I wanted to thank all the glorious devotees that I gathered here today, because for the devotees in New York, in Washington, D.C., in Gitanagri, in Los Angeles, California, those devotees that may not be getting an opportunity to see what's going on today, I want you to know that there's perhaps 4 or 5 city blocks of devotees gathered here to glorify Srila Radhanath Maharaj today on this Tithi date of Parents Day. And what's interesting, Maharaj, for me, is that most of these devotees will not get an opportunity to share with you what's in their heart today. And I was invited to be able to share. And so I want to thank the organizers very much for allowing me to share a few words of glorification to you. Thank you, devotees. There's a song that comes to my mind. It was coming to my mind this morning and I couldn't get it out. And so I thought I would share that little song, Maharaj, because when I think of you, I'm hearing all the wonderful qualities and so many amazing, auspicious glorification of you. Yet, I think of you as a simple sadhu that I met 32 years ago. And it's that same sadhu for me that's touching hearts all over the world. It's that same sadhu that I met that was in the hills of New Vrindavan, that I know was in Govardhan and Vrindavan, that I know that traveled around the world seeking. It's that same sadhu that I know, that I feel, that gives this amazing love to everyone all over the planet. And so this little song is a song that I think of when I think of you. Reach out and touch somebody's heart. Make this world a better place if you can. Reach out and touch somebody's heart. Make this world a better place if you can. And we can, because you've showed us that. We can, because you have. And it's your example that teaches us. So for 10 years, I would always rededicate myself to my Guru Maharaj, because serving him was such an adventure. And every 10 years, he would do another adventure. I heard one of your disciples sharing, now I believe it's Radha Gopinath Prabhu, that now you're embarking on another phase of preaching. And it brought to my thoughts, my consciousness about my Guru Maharaj. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami, every 10 years he would do something different in the realm of preaching. And I would always write a letter to him and pray, please, dear Gurudev, another 10 years of something new. Please, please let me hang on and be a part of this somehow. And so today in your appearance today, I'd like to beg you, Maharaj, Gurudev, please let me hang on for another 10 years. Please give me that opportunity to be a part of the preaching, a part of what Srila Prabhupada is extending to the world. And he's extending it through you. And my Guru Maharaj is here, but not here. So I'm begging you on this day to please let me rededicate my life to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Please let me rededicate my life to what we know that you and Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj envision for the world in carrying out the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And so in that mood, there's another little song. Maharaj, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. All of the obstacles have been removed. On this very glorious day, I beg you, please, let it be a clear, clear, sunshiny day in my heart. I'm begging you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brajila Mataji. And as Sarvabhauma Prabhu begins the offering, I would like to request His Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu, please be ready.
I know it's very difficult for the devotees in India to accept that Maharaj is preaching in the West. I just wanted to tell a few anecdotes. Last summer he came to Houston, not a normal place where he goes even in America, but as part of his book tour. So because of that book, Journey Home, it opens many hearts, and we were able to set up some program for him at yoga centers and other places that we had never had programs before. One place was a dance studio with a yoga. It's not the most spiritual place because a lot of ladies in America, they just dance to lose weight. But we held a program at a place that had dance and yoga. So the director, the manager of the studio was very happy to have Maharaj come, but she said that I have to cook for my husband and I have a young child, so I have to leave quite early in the program. So the program began and Maharaj started speaking, and this lady, I think she planned to stay for about 10 minutes and then go out into, you know, without causing any disturbance. So this was about, the program probably started about 7:30 or 8, and then at 10 o'clock I saw she's still there. So she just started listening to Maharaj and was so touched that she decided to just forget her worldly duties for a few minutes. And she was probably blessed so much just by that one action. There was another yoga center that they ordered some of the books before the program, about 20 or 25 books. So many of the people had read the book before the program, and spontaneously, in the West they don't know how to treat sadhus in general, but the head of this yoga center decided to, she brought rose petals. So when Maharaj appeared at the yoga center, she wanted us to have a kirtan. And all the yoga students who had never met Maharaj, they just offered petals to greet him. So he's touching many, many hearts. And one of the devotees said, Maharaj is expert at just about everything in Krishna consciousness, which is true. But it seems to me that one of the things he's really expert at doing is seeing the good in others. And this is not a superficial thing, but he really feels this. And whether it's with devotees, a new bhakta, a senior devotee, a yoga person, he sees the good in others, and this opens up people's hearts. At the yatra that Maharaj just gave in Govardhan in Vrindavan, he was describing how Sanatana Goswami won people's hearts. Sanatana Goswami would go to the villages and was genuinely concerned about people. And Maharaj said he would open people's hearts so deeply that they accepted whatever he said. This was his method of preaching. He would conquer their hearts with love and then fill them with Krishna. So I believe that Maharaj is doing in the same spirit as Sanatana Goswami, conquering people's hearts and then filling them with Krishna as much as their hearts can accept. I also wanted to add very quickly that I'm a disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj served Prabhupada in the last years, and he knew what pleased Srila Prabhupada. So I happened to witness when Radhanath Maharaj visited him in England, and also when Radhanath Maharaj was at a festival, in Janmashtami festival in Hungary in about the year 2000, how much pleasure Radhanath Maharaj gave to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And I believe that Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was going to college, wasn't in the front lines of preaching for some years, and he was so pleased with the service of Radhanath Maharaj, how much he was pleasing Prabhupada. And one other thing is that when Tamal Krishna Maharaj passed away, Radhanath Maharaj was in New Vrindavan and was ready to go to Italy. So we sent a picture to Radhanath Maharaj of him embracing Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Radhanath Maharaj actually spontaneously, he called the devotees in Italy, and he was supposed to go to Ratha Yatra in Italy. But he asked them, would it be okay if I don't come to the Ratha Yatra, but I go visit the devotees of Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Texas? And they gave permission, so he came and really gave his love and his devotion, and it really helped the devotees. So, on behalf of all the disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I'd like to thank him for all the service he's done for all the Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sarvam Prabhu. A small announcement, there is washroom facility outside the pandal on the opposite side of the road. Jin bhakton ko swachhata agra jana hai, pandal ke bahar, raste ke dusri or, wahan par swachhata agra ki suvidha hai. As Radha Krishna Prabhu comes forward to make his offering, I would like to request His Grace Radhe Shyam Prabhu, kindly be ready.
Dear Radhanath Maharaj, a couple of days back, our office at Tardev received a phone call, and the person at the other end was inquiring about our midday meal project. Next day, she called me and asked if we would give our consent for being nominated for the annual Achievers Award by the D.Y. Patil Group. I did not take her call seriously and casually said that what does it take on our behalf for being nominated. In my mind, I thought this was one of those calls where these days it has become a money-making business to organize such contests and ask for fees to be participant in the contest. However, this one turned out to be slightly different. She said her organization had proactively done some research and shortlisted the organizations doing social work for the upliftment of the society. And ISKCON Food Relief Foundation is one of them. However, they needed our consent to be considered by the jury. It did not sound like a scam, so I asked what I need to do. She said that she had already sent me an email and wanted our consent by mail. The email read, "During our research, we have come across the ISKCON Food Relief Foundation. We appreciate the marvelous effort put in, and thus we have decided to nominate you to the category of organization doing social work. We are glad you have confirmed your participation." And next day, I received her mail, which gave the details reading, "To ISKCON Food Relief Foundation, dear sir, I would like to take this opportunity to appreciate the efforts and achievements you have put in through your foundation. Your achievements have generated love, respect, and trust in the hearts of Indians and individuals of various other nationalities all around the world. The D.Y. Patil Group would be pleased to honor you and your achievements at the D.Y. Patil Annual Achievers Awards function, scheduled to be held on the 13th of November at Hotel Taj Land's End. By presenting you an award in the category of social field, the award ceremony is an initiative by the group where various achievers and visionaries would be acknowledged, appreciated, and felicitated. It would be an honor to have you there in person at the award ceremony to accept your award. I would appreciate if you could reply back with a confirmation of your presence. Awaiting your reply and thanking in anticipation." After I read this, I was convinced it was not a joke. The D.Y. Patil Group strongly believes that leadership positions drive growth. To the group, tomorrow does not belong to the mere technology or sophisticated software, but their care strength, that is the people. The D.Y. Patil Group has become a name synonymous with quality education. They have a sports complex, has a stadium, and they run a couple of hospitals with 2,000 beds each. The group has also made its foray in sectors beyond education, agribusiness, media, consultancy, and various others. Maharaj, the award ceremony will take place tomorrow, that is the 13th of November at Taj Land's End. And many dignitaries, such as governors, chief ministers, and many other personalities in various fields, will be present at this ceremony. Since this award is for the achievers and visionaries, and since Maharaj, you are the visionary who has given us this vision, I request you to kindly come and grace this occasion and share and shower your mercy on all present. Thank you.
Now I'd like to request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to kindly make his offering.
Hare Krishna. Respected Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All Guru Srila Prabhupada. By the irresistible power of Kali Yuga, even spiritual societies are struggling and suffering from internal conflicts due to envy, interpersonal clashes due to pride, non-cooperation, forming splinter groups with material identities, fanaticism, criticism, extremism, and competition for power and position and politics, making the members forget the mission of Founder Acharya. The spiritual message, though potent and purifying, is rendered ineffective in successfully reaching to the masses due to these multifarious problems. The root solution to all of these problems lies in establishing six loving exchanges between devotees and hearing and applying the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without everyone constantly striving for cultivating Vaishnava qualities, there cannot be meaningful relationships between devotees. Maharaj, you have contributed to our lives in millions of ways, and I wanted to appreciate this one thing today. I heard in one of your lectures, you said there is a particular type of bamboo tree in China. You water it year after year for 5 years or so, it doesn't grow at all. And after 5 years, it starts growing like some 30, 40 feet within a couple of weeks. So you were giving this example for patience, how we should patiently invest in our spiritual lives to blossom our Krishna consciousness. And it has another meaning. Why this tree doesn't grow in 5 years? Because it spends all its time in growing the roots, deep roots. And then it can have a very tall tree for a long time to come. Similarly, Maharaj, amongst all your contribution, in my humble opinion, I feel the one which I am going to talk now, I feel is one of the most prime contributions. Your teachings empower one to equip oneself with the heart. And the heart stands for humility, encouraging, appreciating, respecting, and tolerating nature. Rather than maintaining, I am the best, I am very special, I am very important, I don't care about others attitude, that makes one belittle and criticize others. I understood from your teachings that I can hear others only if I have these first four qualities, H-E-A-R. Humility is to put others first and myself last. Encouragement is to know that no one is useless and to see potential in others to become Krishna conscious. And appreciate is to recognize the good service done, not thinking that after all you have done your duty. And respect is to treat with dignity for what they are, seeing the innate goodness in everyone as a part of God. So this humility, encouragement, appreciate and respect, when we have these four qualities, we can lend our ears to hear others. When we can learn to hear others with patience and be willing to forgive and forget, that brings about trust, love, cooperation, peace and happiness, leading to expansion of family of Vaishnavas. And the last one in that five is the T in the heart. T is tolerating the Krishna-sent adverse situations as opportunity for purification, tolerating anger arising from frustration due to our mistakes or others' mistakes, or our inability or others' inability in accomplishing our plans and goals, tolerating success and achievements without looking down upon others. These are so important for keeping a cool head even while being battered by the forceful waves of Kali Yuga situations, and to be able to keep the family of Vaishnavas together without cleavages. By administering this right medicine that was given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Trinadapi verse, you are gifting heart to people who are proud of their heads. Maharaj, You are a man of broad heart, Mahatma, and you are an expert spiritual cardiologist, are performing heart transplantation by gifting new hearts to millions of souls with broken hearts from the attacks and blows of quarrel and hypocrisy of Kali Yuga. Thus, you are expert in preparing the souls for delivering them at the lotus feet of Krishna, since you powerfully make the spiritual world descend into the material world by your own Vaishnava qualities and by teaching the same for the fortunate ones who follow you. We all beg your divine blessings upon all of us and our new upcoming project at Pune, Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Mandir, so that we can imbibe these important principles taught by you to bring about a powerful community of Vaishnavas who can do some real good to the world. Just one passing point I want to make, Maharaj. When I see many of my senior God brothers and God sisters, when I get associated with them, they may have different professions, they may be in different ashrams, but I can clearly see that they are devotees first and then they identify with the profession next. When one looks at our Bhaktivedanta hospital or our midday meal or our school from a material point of view, they often come to conclusions and they become sadly mistaken. But I see that these devotees, for them Krishna and Guru have occupied their heart so much that they don't live for any other purpose. Like Vishwaroop Prabhu was in Pune giving a 4-hour lecture on Radhashtami Day. Similarly, we had Dwarakadish Prabhu, Sridhama Prabhu and their wives coming and giving programs. I can see how much they delight in Krishna consciousness far more than their stethoscopes and the equipments that they use, which is superficial to that blissful Krishna consciousness. So when I see this, I feel those people who criticize these organizations as something superficial or material, as condemnable, I see that they are sadly mistaken. Because you very intelligently planted this heart of humility, encouraging, appreciating, respecting and tolerating nature in the hearts of these disciples, that you gave them an opportunity to experience Krishna in their hearts first, after which you have given them the services which they can perform without descending to the material platform. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We will have a small break now. I request the Kirtan party to begin Kirtan.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So I'll request devotees kindly take your seats, and I'd like to request His Grace Ekavira Prabhu. Ekavira Prabhu, could you please come forward and make your offering? And meanwhile, Naveena Niradha Prabhu, please be ready. A humble request to the parents, could you please switch off your children? I'm sorry. Could you please take care of your children as you take care of your mobile phones when they suddenly start ringing? We are getting some feedback that they are a bit loud.
Krishna Maharaj. First, I would like to also, as my wife Rajalila Mataji expressed, a gratitude to all the organizers for allowing us to be here in the presence of all of you and to have an opportunity to express some gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Swami. His Holiness Radhanath Swami would express to us in regards to his appearance day in North America that his appearance day was on the day that they considered to be a day of infamy. December 7th, 1941 was considered to be such a day because there was a disaster that took place where an attack was made on American soil and many persons were killed during the beginning of the World War II. And this was a horrific time, a time in which brought sadness. Every year it brought sadness to the hearts of many of the citizens in North America. However, on December 7th, 1950, this would be considered an auspicious day because this was the day in which you appeared here for the world, Maharaj. But at the same time, the world did not know of your appearance. Some years later, we had a great opportunity to have your association in Washington, D.C., because a great personality is Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He realized your greatness, and he would always seek your association. And during that period of time, we had that great fortune because you only traveled to a few areas throughout the world, and you would spend weeks with us in Washington, D.C., at least twice a year. Little did we know how fortunate we were. We became so attached to your association. We looked forward to having your association, hearing your classes, and experiencing your kirtans, and just seeing the loving association that you and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he used to express that, yes, my best friend is coming to Washington, D.C., and as a thief, I will steal some of his bhakti. And he has such a compassionate heart, it will be no difficulty, for he will share some of his bhakti with me. And it's no difficulty because he has so much to share with everyone. He referred to you as not only his best friend, but his maha friend. And he used to also share that, yes, he is my best friend, but I guarantee you if you comb the globe that you'll find hundreds of people who will say the same thing. And they would say the same thing because your compassion, the compassion which is contained in your heart, knows no bounds. It's such a, as we would say in the West, such a big heart. Such a big heart that I don't understand how it can be contained in such a small body. But I guess that's your mystic potency. And I am most grateful to the loving encouragement that he gave to you. During his last days, he expressed to you that please, please write a book about your life. And this was not your nature, because you are an example of humility and you do not like to speak about yourself. You like to speak about the glories of others. However, he lovingly encouraged you to please write this book. This book is a message for the world. And it's a message for the world at a point in time where it's most needed. Because each and every day actually is a day of infamy in Kali Yuga. It's a day of infamy in the land of Africa when there's so many wars going on and people are dying constantly. It's a day of infamy in the streets of North America when so many are actually dying for material sense gratification. It's a day of infamy when a parent experiences the death of their child. There's so much suffering going on at this point in time. And a compassionate person such as yourself is most needed. It's most needed in so many ways. And you are the loving example of compassion. Your compassion is shared through your many lectures, your loving example, and through your legacy, your wonderful disciples. I am personally in awe and humbled each and every time I come into the association of your disciples. They are such shining examples of your compassion, and I am most grateful. I personally would like to offer my obeisances to you hundreds and hundreds of times and express a sincere gratitude for your example, for your love, for your mercy that you share upon all of us, and especially Bhaktitirtha Swami's disciples. I express my gratitude on behalf of all of them. We appreciate your loving encouragement. And on this auspicious day, we pray that we have many more Vyasa Pujas to glorify you and in your presence. And we encourage all of your disciples to continue to spread your legacy throughout the world, because the world is in need of examples such as yourself. Your example is like witnessing or experiencing the Lord's loving embrace, and we appreciate it so, so much. So thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ekavira Prabhu. And as Navin Nirad Prabhu begins his offering, I would like to request His Grace Raghunath Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Radhanath Maharaj, please accept my most respectful obeisances, O Gaur Srila Prabhupada. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadam maham vande sri guru dinataranam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the deliverer of the fallen souls. His mercy turns the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. I was lost in the dense forest of material illusion. You kindly cast your merciful glance upon me and picked me up. Your constant showers of affection awakened me back to life. You handed me that long-lost treasure of bhakti, taking me by my hand and guiding me on the path back home, back to Godhead. Last fall, upon returning from the West, there was a group of devotees welcoming you at Mumbai Airport. There were offerings of garlands and much attention from the enthusiastic crowd. Patiently you accepted the honors on behalf of the parampara. Once you had reciprocated with every devotee present and distributed all the flowers back to them, you proceeded to the car. There was a bystander, a young Western lady with a huge backpack. She looked quite overwhelmed by the whole India experience. She probably just got off the plane and her contact person did not show up. She stood unnoticed by everyone. You smiled at her with such kindness, humbly folding your hands. She in return started to smile, folding her hands in pranam. That lava matra, a moment of association with a sadhu, took place, unnoticed by the entire world. The person remembers, and so does the Lord within the heart. Agyata sukriti, unknowing spiritual advancement. To be Krishna conscious means first we have to become conscious. Small acts of kindness make a lasting impression on the soul. No one too small to deserve your attention. You love all living entities because you love Krishna, and thus you love all his parts and parcels. This is but one of your countless outstanding qualities. You have given yourself fully to Srila Prabhupada and live for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. It is never about you, but always about the other. You can sit and patiently listen, making the person feel that you are only there for them. To serve means to please, not on your own terms, but on the terms of the beloved, ready to endure all personal difficulties for the sake of bringing everyone closer to Krishna. You are encouraging every soul on their progressive path. Happily engaging in whatever service Krishna sends your way, your selfless example has inspired countless persons to follow in your footsteps, never demanding, but always commanding respect by your behavior. Devotional service is both nourished and tested through service in separation. Your words are ringing in my ears. Thank you for always being present in your instructions, begging to become useful in your mission, your insignificant servant.
Thank you, Naveen Nirada Prabhu. As Raghunath Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request Her Grace Vishakha Mataji, please be ready.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Although you have mentioned several times that Vyas Puja Day is the greatest austerity of the year for you, for us, it is one of the greatest opportunities to make advancement, because glorifying a pure devotee is the only way to make Krishna happy. I, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, and then later Radha Gopinath Prabhu, they mentioned about your mood to preach in the West now. Even at the risk of repeating, I must say this is very profound. A visionary like you can only gauge what Prabhupada wants at this time. So, again, with a renewed vigor to do what you did 20, 25 years ago is simply amazing. This is unprecedented. I also want to make one relevant point that this media explosion, you know, to make lectures of all the Vartamana Acharyas and to have an explosion of data and information available for making advancement to all the devotees through ISKCON Desire Tree or through your dedicated disciples. You are the inspiration behind that, and to my mind, that is one of the greatest achievements in the recent years, and it is all because of your inspiration. As Braj Leela Mataji was talking, it occurred to me, one thought came to my mind, that it is not that only Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disciples identify so much with you, but in fact all our great stalwart Vaishnav gurus of our society, after they have departed, their disciples, they somehow see their Guru Maharaj in you. This is something very amazing. I think this is one of the very great virtues that we see in you. Maharaj, I remember the time when after a full Sunday feast Sunday Bhagavatam class and then doing a Sunday feast program that would last till 5 o'clock, and we would come to you and say, Maharaj, what are you doing? So you say, nothing. Maharaj, come to my house. And drive you all the way 26 kilometers after two big programs. And then call up on the way to my wife and say, Maharaj is coming, just keep some peanuts, some fruit, something ready. And you spend 3-4 long hours there, and then we drop you back at 10:30. Little did we realize what a toll it is taking on your health and how much we should have been careful at that time. Actually, if I can roll back the years, I would realize that it was very insensitive of us to engage you in such a way, and you gave everything, every ounce of your energy, and which is why we have such a flourishing, beautiful congregation. In Pune Yatra, Maharaj, for 10 long years, Srinathji Prabhu, Krishnachandra Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, Sahadev Prabhu, myself, we used to be in your room. I remember some of us would be sleeping on the bed, and you were in that small 2 feet between the wall and the double bed. Put your chadar, then you would be sleeping. And I have seen you, I've shared with my friend Yudhishthira Prabhu also, in the middle of the night where everyone is snoring in high decibels, you are just with a small torch in your hand reading notes to prepare for the Bhagavatam class next morning. At 2 o'clock in the morning, when every one of us is asleep, you're just with a small torch so you don't disturb us, you were reading and preparing notes. We did not realize your importance. We did not know that you require a very, very special treatment, and that there should be time and space where, you know, you can reflect. So how we took things cheaply at that time, and we yearn for, you know, that if you had understood your needs and your feelings and your position that time, we would have been a little more careful. So all I can say is, Maharaj, thank you so much for everything that you've done to our lives. This is not a forum to speak, but I don't know when I'll get a chance. I'm nearing 50. I want to offer this useless body to you. I've always been scared of telling this because I didn't know what instruction you will give me. But now I'm ready. Anything you want me to do, this body is yours, and in whatever way you want to utilize it, it will be my greatest pleasure, Maharaj.
Thank you, Raghunath Prabhu. And as Vishakha Mataji begins her offering, I'd like to request Acharya Ratna Prabhu, please be ready.
Dear Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, today the whole world is slowly turning towards natural living. Everywhere people are talking about organic food and eco-friendly communities. Many communities are coming up in the world along these lines, giving up artificial living styles. Our temple here at Shri Shri Radha Gopinath has also been a community whose seeds you sowed years back and patiently saw its organic growth. Yes, it has been organic because such communities cannot come overnight. Years of your constant watering has reaped this result. People ask us that please tell us the secret of success of your temple and give us the formula so that we can also apply and duplicate it. But it is not possible to duplicate it mechanistically because inorganic things grow fast but are not natural and sweet. Starting from our congregational growth, the preaching programs, the Brahmachari Ashram, our projects, even the number of deities on our altar, everything, including our external temple structure, was a slow organic growth, and therefore there is this sweet, attractive atmosphere here. Behind all this was a patient farmer like you who was carefully watering our roots and slowly but unknowingly removing our weeds to present this eco-friendly community, to present this ego-friendly community at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. An ego-friendly community is a lot more difficult to make than an externally eco-friendly community. The second phase of Srila Prabhupada's mission was to establish Varnashram in such communities. So many senior devotees who have visited Radha Gopinath temple have said that when they come here, they can feel that Srila Prabhupada is smiling very happily. All glories to your great efforts, Maharaj, in continuously emphasizing this fact of having love and trust amongst us, trying to put aside our egos, whether a class of 1986 or 2006 or 2011, you have always stressed the importance of this because you know and you are convinced and you want us to understand that without this foundation of no ego, it is impossible to build such an ego-friendly community. Not that we have no ego problems, but the constant awareness you have created buffers its effects sooner and reduces its frequencies lesser than it would have otherwise been. Because of our insincerity and inability to hold on to your instructions, some of our weeds are obstructing this beautiful growth of our Bhakti Lata and slowing down our progress in Krishna consciousness. On this day, we pray to get renewed strength, Maharaj, to be able to let go of our weeds and allow you to help us grow faster. Having been under the shelter of your wonderful personality since the last 25 years has been such a gratifying and pleasurable experience. Sometimes, Maharaj, everything in this lifetime seems all just like a long, wonderful dream. A dream too good to be true. Such nice friends, such nice reciprocative deities, such nice environment, and above all, to have you, Maharaj. We never want that this dream should ever end and we wake up to this horrible material world. This will only be possible if we never ever forget your golden words that with all our ego problems, at the end of the day, all that we have is each other. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Mataji. As Acharya Ratna Prabhu comes to make his offering, I would like to request His Grace Maha Prabhu to please be ready.